Michael Libby in the Business News Hour is supported by the Iowa Association of Business and Industry, Moving Iowa Forward, iowaabi.org. And Iowa soft water for you, your family, and your business starts with iasoftwater.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. Our guest is Robert Woodhull, and we are going to talk about something totally different than perhaps you've ever heard on this particular broadcast. Robert is a manager with La Hacienda Restaurants, and he was here not too very long ago with Rafael, and we were talking about the restaurant of the week, which was La Hacienda. And after that discussion, Robert and I were talking about Native Americans, because Robert is. And we alluded a bit to that during that first interview, and I asked him to come back and help us better understand the life of a Native American in the United States today. And so with us is Robert Woodhull. Thank you, Robert, for coming by.
Thank you for having me back.
You just got back from Colorado?
Yes, I did.
So how are things in Colorado?
It was a lot warmer than here. Yeah, that's what I can tell you.
Yeah, everything's warmer than here, I think. All right, I want to give us an opportunity to better understand the life of Native Americans today in the United States. What's it like?
As far as on the reservation itself, yeah. Things are getting better. I mean, we're getting, you know, with the casinos and the things that we're starting with the farming, and, you know, we're getting a lot better, and, you know, we're just creating a lot better jobs out there. Biggest thing we're still fighting against is, you know, the alcohol abuse, the abuse of, you know, different substances.
Yeah. So. Well, that, you know, that the abuse of substances is across the border, you know, and so many people do have it. But that has been an ongoing issue for many Native Americans, especially alcohol abuse, for, well, generations. And why is that? You're not a sociologist, so maybe you don't know, but in your lifetime experience, what do you think the contributing factor to that issue might be?
I'm going to say traumatic history, you know, from way far beyond, you know, way back to my ancestors, you know, I still hear the stories.
You still hear the stories?
I still hear the stories.
And, like, what stories do you hear?
You know, my aunt telling me about the certain different things, you know, that happened to us, you know, as far as forcing to assimilate to American ways of life.
Well, that assimilation was very pronounced. I mean, not only did the United States government impose that on Native Americans with schooling, religious leaders imposed Christianity on Native Americans, dress, comportment, food, the whole thing was all foreign to the first Americans, but that's the way things were.
And that's the way things are still today.
Still today.
And if you look at me, you know, I don't have the long hair, clean cut,
right,
because of the business that I'm in. You know, I'm in the business world, and people see me on a constant daily basis. So it's better for me in the business world, in the American society, to be clean cut.
Right. I understand. So. I understand completely. Robert Woodhull, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. We're talking about the Native American experience, a vastly different topic than what we usually cover here on the Business News Hour. But I want to talk a little bit about economy and the economics of living on a reservation. What's it like?
Best way I can put it is it's a lot more simple.
Life is more simple.
Yeah.
How so?
We don't have the constant going. You know, we have everything is there. Everything, we try to keep everything within our tribe.
So those tribal leaders, they govern that particular reservation.
Yes.
And there's your own police department.
Exactly.
And what about business? What do people do? Are they working outside of the reservation? Are they working in the casinos? Are they working in entrepreneurial businesses?
Our casinos are biggest,
yeah,
biggest employment,
right,
for all Native tribal members. We give you the opportunity to come in and work there. But if you're not happy quit there, then you're more than welcome to, you know, leave the reservation and seek employment somewhere else.
Sure.
But we try to keep everything within our tribe.
Uh-huh. And when you say keeping things within the tribe, not only the police department and governance, education, those types of things, how does that impact how individuals, if they leave the reservation, as you did, how does that impact how you mingle with people who have no idea what the reservation might be like?
It's a little bit harder. It was harder back then. It's a lot easier now because of education.
Sure.
You know, we moved up, I should say, with, you know, technology. Now, you know, we have schools that, you know, you can actually go into one classroom where you want to do, say, study something in China. We have a screen for that.
Right.
So you can actually communicate with students in China.
So technology has
opened the doors
really
for us.
Got it. All
so
right.
Even though we're still on the reservation, mm-hmm. and it's still being educated there, we're now reaching out because of the internet and everything like that.
Now, there are many reservations in the United States. My grandparents, interestingly enough, had a beautiful resort in Shawano, Wisconsin, long, long, long time ago. And it was near the Menominee Indian Reservation there. And I remember as a kid being there in the summer and going to the reservation. And it was quite a different – this is back in the 50s and 60s. So it was quite a different life back then. Lots of poverty, extreme poverty in some places. And people unsettled in their living conditions. Many, it seemed, would much rather not live in the house – but would much rather live according to their native custom.
Yeah, and that's one of the biggest things that I grew up understanding from my ancestors and the elders is we try to keep everything the way it was.
So you don't lose it.
Yeah, and, you know, we're still, you know, right now we're still going through the struggle with losing our language.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything is, you know, now we're having trouble with finding people that would speak the native language.
Right.
And so we can, you know, further educate our children that are coming up now.
And how important is it? You know, one of the things that, you know, in my family, you know, we spoke some Yiddish, and that was an important part of communication among family members. And I suspect that the language that you have is equally important to keep that alive.
Yeah. It is.
I can because you lose identity when you lose all of those things, I would think.
Definitely.
Let's talk a little bit about Dakota Access Pipeline. This has been a really contentious, divisive piece of work, and it seems as though the Obama administration has, for the time being anyway, sided with the Native American population in halting some of the construction. But now we are under a new, soon-to-be new administration with President-elect Donald Trump, and there's some uncertainty when it comes to that. What is the biggest concern? And you have a brother that is currently in North Dakota.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
And this is the dead of winter, Robert, and he's up there with all kinds of individuals. What is the biggest complaint about the Dakota Access Pipeline from the Native Americans?
The threat of contamination. That's our biggest concern.
Contamination of the water?
Of the water, yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's why so many are now calling themselves water protectors.
Yes.
What is it that we as white people don't understand when it comes to the Native Americans' thought process as it relates to Mother Earth?
Nature. We try to keep everything with Mother Nature and not to disturb it. And we've always, as our people throughout history, we have always tried to understand and stay in compliance with Mother Nature and Mother Earth.
Uh-huh. And that is no doubt historical, because everything that your people had came from the earth.
Yes.
Yeah. And not only sustenance, but also how you lived on a regular basis. How many of those stories are still shared among family members?
constantly.
Really?
Constantly. I mean, I like I told you earlier, I still hear them.
You still hear these stories. Your brother is currently in North Dakota, part of the protest movement with the Water Protectors. How's he faring up there? How's he doing?
He's doing great. I mean, I heard from him 2 days ago, and he's still up there, and they're still banding together.
Now, your brother's name is?
Michael.
Michael. Great name, by the way. I happen to like that. So Michael is among the Water Protectors. How many people are still there?
I guess the best estimation was almost in the thousands.
Yeah, in the thousands. Yeah. And how are they surviving the winter?
Banding together.
Banding together.
Banding together.
Is that really? For those of us who live in nice heated homes here in the greater Des Moines metro, that's something almost impossible to understand, how they are living in some makeshift shelters up there on the plains of North Dakota. But that's also part of your history.
We're still doing the campfire thing.
You're still doing the campfire thing. You had lots of support. Your brother has had lots of support by ecologically minded white people, folks from nearly every stripe that came or went to the site and protested along with the Water Protectors. What was that like?
It's great. I mean, we appreciate everybody who's standing with us and standing behind us, because we feel that the more we get this story out, because if you notice, it's faded out
of
the media, because the media has chosen to either they've been ordered to stay away from it, or they've just chosen to leave it alone.
Well, and yeah, and there's been other things that have been taking the media's attention here recently, too. Yeah, for sure. Robert Woodhull, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest, and we're talking about a host of things from the Native American experience. Family? So you have Michael, any other brothers or sisters?
There's seven of us all together.
Seven of you. My gosh. All right.
Everybody else lives in Colorado.
In Colorado. Yeah. And your family chose to live off the reservation, apparently.
Yes.
What about your parents? What business do they do? What do they do?
Unfortunately, my parents passed away a couple of years ago.
Oh, Nebek, I'm so sorry. Yeah. What did they do?
My father was an auto mechanic.
Really?
And my mother was a stay-at-home nurse. Well, a stay-at-home parent, but then a nurse also.
Obviously that's one of those things that comes with having seven kids.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to stay pretty close to home. Well, Robert, thank you very much for coming in and sharing some of this. And if, ladies and gentlemen, if you've missed any of this particular conversation with Robert Woodhull, we will have this up on our radio blog. And I think it's something that, you know, it's way out of the course of what we normally do and talk about here on the Business News Hour. But I'm really intrigued by this story. And hopefully Robert will come back at some time and give us an update. Thank you.
Definitely. Thank you for having me.
All right. Robert Woodhull, ladies and gentlemen, a member of the Omaha tribe. That's correct. Now, how many Omahas are there?
There's all roughly, we're estimation, about 120,000.
Wow.
And growing.
There you go. Well, if folks have seven kids, that's going to be part of it. Well, thank you again, Robert. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Robert Woodhull, ladies and gentlemen, on the Native American experience, something that you and I might take to heart and maybe try to understand a bit more about. All right, we're going to step aside very quickly and then take a look at what happened today on Wall Street. I can tell you it was another choppy day, and we'll have details when we take a look at the numbers. That's next here on the Business News Hour.